So week one, just to review a little bit of where we've been, I wanted to, this week three is called the rest stop. And like when you travel, you know, you go to a rest stop, right? So, but this is, it's a little bit of a deceiving name because it's a rest stop, but it's more like Brett's rest stops that he does when we're on big trips. People think, oh great, we're gonna go to Israel or we're gonna go wherever and it's gonna be, this is just gonna be a really easy trip. No. You are up at 5, you do not go to bed until 10, you're on jet lag, and then you are up at 5, sometimes 4:30, you're like this. So our rest stop is grab water, grab something to eat, and then keep going again, and you're like this at the end. So this is the rest stop week, but it's the rest stop figuratively, not because you're not going to be busy. You're going to be busy this week. We're going through several chapters. But it's the rest stop because spiritually, what's going to happen this week is that now you get to see the reward for grace. And that's what's just so amazing. And I have written through twice what I'm going to talk to you about. I still am ready to scrap everything and start over because it's just so good. You can't read Romans chapter 5 and not feel encouraged. You just can't. Especially, we talked about the wrath of God last week, just a little bit. So if you did work on your own, you really went through how depraved mankind is. And I know that if you just watch the news every day, you'll go, yeah, I don't need to be reminded. But no, for real, like we really are depraved. We have issues, mankind, humanity. The whole, oh, you're born basically good. No. Let's go back to what the Bible says. It's realistic. It's telling you the truth. You can count on it. God is the just. He is the justifier. And the way that he sees things, the balance has been weighed on us, and we are wanting, like it says in the book of Daniel. We are very, very wanting. So that's all really good because now you get to this week, the rest stop week. And I just love it. And I know you're going to be blessed. I also want to thank you for just praying for me and for my family. And just as things go, this experience of really plowing through a whole book and going through this with you guys, I don't want Brett's job. I told him, there is no way on this green earth I could ever do your job and week in, week out, do what you do. There's just no way. So it's caused me as a wife to pray for him more and to experience even more, and I experienced it before, the stress that he feels when he's presenting to everyone. I really appreciate what he does even more. But I am really thankful for those of you who have written me through the past few days and said, you know, we're praying for you, I'm praying for you. Because I got to tell you, today was, you know, you wake up and it's like bing, millions of thoughts and everything because nerves and just everything that happens, you know, have a little bit of a cold or whatever, all the things that we all experience. And so it was a day. Brett was home today and I was just, you know, I'm at the table. No, seriously, you just don't understand. One of those days, right? And he's just like, oh, honey. Like, it's one of those things where I think guys sometimes are like, no, you're going to be okay. I love you. But then he left for a little while and he did a couple errands. And he felt so bad for me. And it was really sweet. But he brought me roses. I know, it's really sweet. And it's extra sweet because he does not like Valentine's Day because it's a Hallmark holiday. He absolutely just hates that. He thinks it's forced celebration of love that's like not, you know, he hates it. So the fact that he got roses and brought them to me for something that was actually meaningful to him to give them to me is really, really sweet. So kudos. Now, Brett, I know he's the hero and all of the husbands are going to be like getting it tonight when they get home. So... but whatever, it'll make everyone's marriages better, happier homes, you know, stuff like that. So anyway, when he was gone, and I was, we have our new dog Winston, because you know Charlie passed away. So our dog Winston, I call him our COVID dog. I think a lot of us got dogs during COVID, but we could kind of tell Charlie wasn't doing amazingly well, and if you guys haven't been able to tell, those of you who have known me for any length of time, I'm sort of so there's plan A, and then there's plan B, and then there's plan C, plan D, plan E, like that. And I like to have the plans. So Charlie, I was planning, hey, maybe we could maybe have him for 2 more years, maybe. But maybe not, so maybe we should get a puppy. And Brooke also was getting a puppy, and so they came from actually the same, they're cousins. So if you see Brooke's dog, he's really cute, Indy, and then my dog, Winston, mine's a whiter color, but they're cousins, it's really cute. So what does that have to do with the Book of Romans? Nothing, 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 except that I had my cute little dog. I was out having him, you know, to his little running and everything that he does, and I was really trying to grab a hold of my emotions and everything. And then the Lord reminded me, hey, when you go inside, why don't you look in the book for this week? The book that I wrote. So I was like, oh yeah, I think this is the week where the ladies are gonna hear about what is. And sure enough, you're gonna get it on day 4 and day 5. And so I just wanna explain it to you because it's, well, I already explained it to you because it's in the book, but just so you know, it works, okay? It works, like it works. And I want you to know that the Lord can take our emotions and he can take all of our crazy and he can help us make sense of it. And he can really help us get things sort of straightened out when they're extremely not straightened out. And the what is phrase, and Judy knows this because she knows Todd, my father-in-law, who then passed this on to Brett. My father-in-law, Todd, was a contractor and an engineer and an architect and all of these things. He's alive still. He's just retired. But his mind, genius level. You don't, at age 21 or whatever, build Castaic Dam down in California, build Oregon's biggest bridge, all these, Idaho's largest. You don't do that at that young of an age. He has a genius level mind. So when he came to know the Lord, that impact on the family was like an earthquake. I mean, it was seismic, just huge. And one of the things that he has been so good, many, many family conversations, and me dating Brett, you know, at age 18 to 21, we got married, and then all through these years, just Todd is very matter of fact. He is very, what is? What is? What is? And it has just been the most settling statement through the years. And Brett also has been able, and you can see it in Brett's teaching. You can hear it. When Brett teaches, this is one of the reasons why he is so logical. And so he's not an emotive kind of person. And he doesn't go off the handle on things because he is, it's what is. He sees the word of God logically. It's planned out. Mankind is dropped the ball and fallen short right out of the gate with Adam and that disobedience. You know, it's what is. It's just what is. And that allowance of us, that freedom that we have, and this is not in the book, but I'll just give you a freebie. Those are boundaries that you can have in your mind. That it's your own bracketing for yourself, being able to say, what is, like today, watching my dog, you know, running around and my scattered emotions, which I knew. Okay, what is that what we're sharing in God's word and what we're learning over these past few weeks and the next few weeks is absolute truth. That's what is. And so all the other stuff all of a sudden just poof, just doesn't really matter very much because we can look ahead to God's greater glory and we can experience joy, of course, on this side of heaven, but we really, really can look at the what is and the what is it, I am saved. And what is that right there in the book. But we have it on the slide tonight. Knowing all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what is. That's what is. So when you have a day that's kind of a funky day, or when your kids are out of control, or when your teenagers are, you know, not obedient, and you know you need to reel these things in, and it can be enough to make you just kind of go over the edge. Remember what is, that nothing shall separate us from the love of God. So I want to start with that, which is towards the end of the chapter 8 of the book of Romans, but I want us to make sure that we have that within the brackets of what we're about to explore, you know, tonight. So go ahead and open up to Romans chapter 4, if you would. And I'll get my glasses on here. So So now you see that Paul goes back a little bit, and he goes in, talks a little bit about Abraham. And the reason why that's important is because in chapter 1, you see that Paul almost immediately gives a reference to the oracles of God. And Abraham was a part of hearing from the Lord, a huge promise. So in chapter 1, we got to see how Paul is called and how we are called as moms. We are called to our families, and we're called in that way. It's an act of service, and we're called by the Spirit, and we have God's word to help guide us. But as we work our way through to chapter 4 now, Paul, and we briefly talk about this in the introduction, because we're going through so many chapters this week, it is just chapter 4 is only in the introduction. So you're just going to need to dig a little bit on that on your own. But Abraham, this is the big thing for us as moms. And I think for us to impart this to our kids too, the reason why it's important is not because it's a cool, really fun Sunday school, you know, song, Father Abraham had many sons had Father Abraham, right arm, left arm, all that. Yeah, that's fun. But Father Abraham, the big deal with Father Abraham is that he believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And the sign of his faith was circumcision. Paul goes on to say, is circumcision the only thing? Is that, does this justify circumcision? Like he starts then kind of grappling with the argument of the Jewish law versus the argument of faith, and also calling out those who would believe that because they were given the oracles of God, therefore they're in a position of righteousness and able to tell each other what to do, which is a huge propensity of all of us. We can tell each other how to live. We can, you're not doing this and this. I'm guilty of it, you're guilty of it. You for sure see it in your kids. Because of course, once one brother learns something, of course the other sister has to know what the brother learned. And the sister's not doing it right. And after the sister learns it, she's sure going to go around to the brother and say, well, you didn't do this. And we probably were all taught, when you point at somebody, how many fingers are pointing back at you? We were taught that. I remember the school counselor, for any of you who are in here who are school counselors, thank you, I remember. Yes, there's three fingers. I'm not sure about this, but there's three fingers pointing back at me whenever I'm pointing at someone else, you know. So those are important things. But Paul's actually the first one that I give credit to, saying, hey, you guys can't stand on what you've been given and blame everyone else for doing things that are wrong when you yourselves actually don't even believe what you're actually trying to actually follow. Actually. I just think that it's a fun thing to think about Father Abraham, and it's really important for us as women to encourage our kids in the faith to not give up. Because it's so easy. It's so easy for us to get sidelined by what we see. See, Abraham, if he was to look at what he saw, and the Apostle Paul talks about this, if Abraham was to look at what he saw, he would have failed. His faith would have faltered, and he wouldn't have been able to just trust God. And in fact, we know that he, you know, flubbed up a little bit, kind of, but the sovereignty of God, it all works out. But you know what I'm saying? Like, Sarah was actually the one that was to carry the seed, and the Messiah was going to come through there. And his own fleshly attempt to try to make that work out was not going to cut it. God used it, but that wasn't the primary purpose. God performed what he promised. And that's what we can tell our kids. Living that out, sometimes it's going to be hard for us. Even now, in this day and age, for your kids and for you to be strong enough to go against the flow of what culture is really pulling at you to do and say, nope, I'm trusting God. What he has promised, he's able to deliver. He will, in our families, individually, he's going to give us life out of this. I know he will, because God is the God that produces life. That's been my kind of gauge over the past 6 or 8 years, since things really kind of came down the pike, so to speak, through different governmental entities, laws being passed and whatnot. You know, laws can be passed, but those laws in our country, we can change. And I just about dropped over 2 Wednesdays ago when Brett said, you know, if we're going to solve the homeless problem, what do we need to do? And he said, vote. I mean, he's right. He's right. That is the difference when you're reading through the book of Romans and you're comparing it to our country. We are not Rome. We are not Rome. You know, and it only takes, again, just 30 seconds of the news to go, okay, so we're also not Russia. We're clearly not China. We're not Canada. Like, we're actually our own country. So applying this information to your kids, it's really important for you to have a good grounding on the Old Testament, to understand the concept of Abraham and who he was, why it was that he had to see past his current circumstance and look for generations that he wouldn't even experience the outcome of God's promise, but he believed God, and that was counted to him for righteousness. And then transfer that over in today's society and where we're at, and trust God. Trust God. Because it's not about right this second. It's not about who's going to war with who and all this kind of stuff. It's about what is God doing for the next generation and the next generation and the next. And you are actually a part of that as mothers. You know, that's why your calling is so just amazingly cool. So now as we look a little bit farther into chapter 5, which is just where, I sort of freak out. It's just so good because God delivered his son for us. In chapter 5, verse 1, it's where the whole thing turns around. And Paul says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our being justified is a matter of fact. It's a done thing. And the sin issue's been dealt with, and we're dedicated, and we're righteous because of him. And we don't have to do anything at all to earn that. And that's the beauty of it, you know. And when you transfer that to your kids, and when you're you know, wanting to have order in your family, you know that your family, by faith, you're saved, okay? But there's outcomes. And what you're going to see in chapter 6, 7, and 8, 7 especially, you see this amazing, 6, 7, and 8 is just great because those are the relief chapters. I call those the relief chapters because even the Apostle Paul experienced complete frustration with his own humanity. And so as mothers, when you are like, what are you doing with your kids? Why? How could you do that? I really encourage you to read chapter 7 because remember, the Apostle Paul, he was literally raised up to become, you know, a Gamaliel or a high priest. He was ready to go in the ministry of the Jewish nation. He was ready, and God called him, really transferred him out, and just whoop, and he had a reroute in his life. And he could not figure it out. He was frustrated with himself and frustrated with his flesh. And it is a really great reminder for all of us. And when you get through those chapters this week, just for you to be praying and for you to be praying blessing on your family, but also be praying like that God would open up those conversations for you with your kids about the Holy Spirit. Because it is the Holy Spirit that's going to help us be aware of our daily activity, our daily walk with the Lord, but our interaction with our spouse, or if you're single, your frustrations that you have about that, it is the Holy Spirit that is the comforter and that's going to help you to have answers to those questions that you have. And it is the Holy Spirit that's going to help you sort of, I almost look at it like in my parenting experience, the extra push to really drive home a point. Just that extra boom to just really get you over the hump, so to speak, you know, with your kids. Because sometimes it just seems like, man, they're just not getting it. They're just not getting it. They are literally, they're just not getting it. And you can draw all the lines and you can make all the, okay, you're going to do this. And if you don't, then there's this consequence and boom, boom, boom. And you follow through and you're really good and you're really thorough about that. And they still, like, what is it? And a lot of times, just ask the Titus 2 moms, a lot of time, many, many times, when we go to the Lord and really just say, Lord, it is not going to be by my strength in this. It's going to be by your Spirit really leading this child, convicting this child. I've literally prayed, dear Lord, make this child miserable, miserable in his or her sin, miserable. And I meant it, and not because of disdain for the child, but because I thought, man, better for this kiddo to learn this when they're 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, or whatever, than when they're out on their own because of the consequences of what happens the older you get. You all know. Better for you to learn how to lose 50 cents than for you to lose a house. You know what I mean? Because of not learning how to spend properly or whatever. big, big things, things that can make you homeless and things that can, you know, getting back to that question of what Brett says, how do we solve the homeless problem? Well, we got to start at the root. There's a root that was missed with a lot of people that are struggling right now. That's what you're helping to prevent. You are helping to prevent the homeless problem for the future. You know what I'm saying? Like, if we can teach our kids, teach ourselves self-restraint, obedience, not lying, not being deceivers, those are the actionable things that you can work in to your homes. And it's really great, but don't be frustrated if they miss the mark. And be encouraged when you get to Romans chapter 7 and you say, oh, okay, see, it's human nature. It's human nature. But going back to chapter 5, this is where if you could just hang out in chapter 5 in your heart, it will be good for you, it will help you, and it will encourage you, and it will help you to not grow weary in well-doing. Because when you're fueled knowing how much you're loved and how much you're saved by grace, it sure is easier to pass that on to your kids. And it will also really, should I say, prevent you from going to jail for killing someone. Because, you know, when if you can restrain your own anger, it's going to help you. You know, I'm really just trying to help you out. So let's go back to chapter 5. We have in verse 2 at the end, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And then we have this beautiful explanation of really why we have tribulation and trial. And it talks about tribulation worketh patience in verse 3, and then patience, experience, and experience, hope. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. In other words, he's actively involved in bringing his love out in me. And that's what we can pray for our kids. Lord, remind me that you are actively involved in bringing out your love in my child. And you're actively involved in me in bringing out your love in me towards my child, towards my spouse, towards people in my life, people that we see. The Holy Spirit really is actively involved. That's a good thing. That's exciting. And it's something that we do need to remember. And it's one of those things to put on the what is bracket, right? That's the truth. That's the actual truth, that the Lord is actively involved in your life. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He displayed, he manifested his love for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Okay, so we have three huge things, minimally three huge things: reconciliation, justification, and atonement. So that is awesome for you as a mom, because this is motivating. Now we're getting somewhere. Now you have your marching orders of why you can be called the missionary in your home, right? You're like Paul, you're apostle, you are have been called, you've been separated for the gospel. Jesus has visited you, Jesus is in your life, and now you're called to share the Lord with your family. Reconciliation. The fact that your kids, all right, in their unsaved state, you, my little man, are a heathen. That's just the way it is. The sooner you can wrap that around in your mind, wow, I have little heathens in my house. I have little heathens, you know. You're not saying that in a judgy way. You're just saying, we reviewed the wrath of God. We already went through chapter 1. We looked at chapter 2. We see the things. We know that chapter 3, verse 1, but now the righteousness of God is made manifest. Yes, yes. And you, my little man, you need God's righteousness. This is your motivation to really allow your kids to understand about the good news of Jesus. Because this little heathen has been reconciled. He just might not know it yet. Okay? So you get the little heathen to learn about Jesus. And who's going to tell them about Jesus more than you? Right? In the morning, when they wake up, brushing their teeth, you know, whatever your order of arrangement is for your mornings, in the noontime, if you're homeschooling or if you're still at preschool age, if your kids were home for the past 2 years and all that, you got a big opportunity to learn what they were learning, undo what they were learning, and re-help them learn, right? So it's the same thing now. You know, things are opening back up and we're getting back into routines, and you're still the one that needs to intervene. But thank the Lord, when we were weak, God did it for us. And so your kids are going to show you weakness all day long. There's going to be, oh, weakness, weakness. You know, it's okay. That's okay. They have been reconciled. They have been justified. This is huge. Justification's giant in your home. Integrate this into your life. If there is correction that's needed, go ahead and talk about that. In the book, we talk about happy chats, I think, a couple times. I think you've already been through it, and I think you're doing it again in a couple weeks. You know, the happy chats are those sit-down resets, right? Where you say, okay, things are a little bit out of control, and you cite those examples. You know, mommy allowed, you take it on yourself, you need to own it, you're responsible for the outcome of your family's behavior, really. You are, especially when they're young. When they get to be older, you have to do these resets and it looks a little bit different. It looks like, okay, you blew it, give me the car keys. Those are real consequences, but you need to lay it out. So a happy chat would be if you're, you know, if five or younger, okay, these are the rules. You're not supposed to hit your brother. Oh, and you're not supposed to pinch your sister or your brother. Do I really need to point that out? Yes. Point it out very clearly. Okay. If you do, then this is the consequence. And make it really clear, really clear. And then the minute, like wait for it, the minute that they even go across that line, you need to go right there with that consequence that you promised them. Because see, you're really showing your kids that you're doing what you say, you mean what you say, what mommy says is the truth, mommy doesn't lie to me, because you're the image of God to these kids. You are what they have in place of God right now until they come to know Jesus themselves. You are that reflection. So it's really important for you to keep your word, because God keeps his word, okay? It's so important for you to grab onto that. I think it's your highest calling as a mom to work into your habit that if you say you're gonna do it, you better do it. And if you don't, you need to apologize to your kids. It's that serious in my mind. Because it's such a reflection on the goodness of God and the character of God, in that he tells the truth to us. He is right every time. There's not one time God is not right. He tells us, he follows through. What he says to us, he will perform. And it's that same kind of faith that Abraham had towards God. Your kids are looking to you for that same kind of faith. They're little. When they're little, they depend on you. They wake up, they go to mommy for food. They have no idea it comes from the store. They have no idea that the food that you made. They have no clue. They just know that you're the provider. You're the source of it all, right? So in that same way, it's faith. It's just a natural, sweet faith. And they innately know that, to look to you. You're the parent. They know that. So that's why it's your job to make sure that as much as you can, be honest and be forthcoming with your kids. If you catch yourself, you know, like, oh, I didn't follow through. Make sure and just own that with your kids and just say, mommy sins, mommy makes mistakes, and I have to tell you, I'm so sorry. And it'll look differently in every home, but just be forthcoming in that way. Because why hide it? Why hide it? What are we, Cain and Abel? No. I mean, we don't need to hide. We're not Adam and Eve. We don't have to pretend God doesn't see. And your kids, you guys, our kids are smart. They're probably smarter than you know? Just hand a computer to like a 3-year-old and see how fast that they can, you know, click onto things and learn, and oh my word, they're so smart. So they see right through all of our stuff. And it is humbling. It's very humbling. But here's what I'll tell you as an older mom. You are not going to regret the honesty with your kids. You'll never regret it. because you will be building up a relationship with them that's going to last through time. You will not regret it. It's hard work when they're young, but it is completely amazing when they're older. So work. I know it's hard, but do that. So back to the happy chat and what that would look like for maybe, you know, elementary school, going into junior high. The consequences are bigger. They can understand things much better. There might be privileges that you are ready to give them, and those are all on the table to be removed, all of them. It's huge. Get them used to understanding that when mom and dad say this, and I do really think it's important for you to talk to your husband, make sure you agree on what it is you're actually going to discuss in terms of what your new reset is, because that way you guys are a nice firm wall. And you know, it's kind of like if we have these barn doors behind us here, they're giant barn doors, right? Well, it's both doors that are opened in order to get out, right? Your kids need to learn that about mom and dad. They're essentially the same exit and entry, okay? They're not separate. It's not like that door is mom and that door. We're going to get a different outcome for that door as opposed to that one. No. You guys need to understand you are the same door. And I mean, Brett and I got this all the way clear through, I think maybe junior high, finally the kids figured out, you know, we really don't get different answers from mom and dad. It's pretty much not worth it, because Brett and I would know, and they didn't realize that we could, like, I could hear Brett talking to them in his office. And so then I would say, okay, I know what's coming. They're going to come to me and try to get a different outcome. But it's because Brett and I were in unison on that, that we weren't, nope. And Brett would even say, well, what did your mom say? And then that was the answer. Because, not because the outcome, maybe it was, well, mom said that, let's try to think of something that would be bad. See, here's the good news. I can't remember. Isn't that great? It's like justification, just as if they never sinned at all. I'm actually living it out. I'm actually showing you what it's like. You just forget. You just, like, God just forgets our sin. Isn't it? Glory, hallelujah. So good. Let's just say, because Brooke would never do this, but let's just say, Dad, mom said I could have $5. And if he said, oh, really? So let's just go check on that. That kind of stuff. You need to be that in unison together so that you can know, like, oh, that's the husband and wife knowing Debbie doesn't just go hand out $5 to Brooke and then not being considerate of Joey and Casey. So you see what I mean? That's the marriage part of communication between the husband and the wife, and just and then whoever, if it's aunts and uncles and all that, it's major communication. That's how you don't have things get messed up, is that everybody's on the same page and everyone's communicating together. So getting back to Romans chapter 5 here. So we talked about justification, and it was kind of funny that I actually can't remember, but that is actually, the Bible says that God, he forgets. It's as if we never sinned at all. That is what justification is. And then atonement is at one. Brett has explained that many times, and truly, for all of you who want to go deeper into the book of Romans, I mean, we have two rounds that you can go through at Athey Creek that Brett's done, and he does a fantastic job. So that's why this book is just a survey, because I know it's not a deep, deep study, but it is applicable to us as moms, and it's a really good handbook. And then if you can take that and couple that with Brett's teachings, I think you can really have a great time as far as having just a fuller knowledge of the book of Romans. But we have justification, and we have reconciliation, and we have atonement. And then in verse 12 it says, whereas by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all sinned. So now at this part in the chapter, this is super important, because kids are going to maybe ask you, how come, like, where did sin even start? Where did it even come from? And again, this is a really good opportunity for you to go and check out the first part of Genesis. The first 11 chapters are like, it's basically the answer to all the problems. It just helps you a lot. You see the creation, you see, and you can counter that by saying, kids, you know, the Bible says that God created man and woman, and we did not become from evolved just blobs. It's that kind of stuff. If when you go through Genesis And again, I don't mean to over-refer to my husband, but he does do a really good job. So go through Genesis with Brett, and you'll have it. You will have so much information of how to teach your kids about what's called the original sin, because the original sin happened through Adam and Eve. In Romans chapter 5, that's what Paul's referring to. He's saying, by one man, sin entered the world, but by another man's obedience, we all have been justified. We have been imputed righteousness. We have God's righteousness given to us because of Jesus. And so there's clear explanations for everything. It's just that I feel like I'm maybe, you know, letting you know a little bit about the ingredients for the recipe or whatever, you know, so that you can actually fully bake this thing, you know, because kids are smart and they're going to want to know. No, really, like actually, how did the actual first sin happen? So you need to be equipped and brush up on your Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 and Genesis 3 and check it out and have it and get it in your mind so that you can say, remember, there was deceit that happened, and that's what mommy's trying to teach you so that you don't have to be deceived. And then when they get older, it's the same thing. It's just bigger clothes, okay? Remember, deceit happened, and mommy's trying to help you to not be deceived. Because then when you get to chapter 6, it talks about the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. But the wages of sin is still death. And that's something huge for moms to be able to pass on to your kids when they're little, when they're a little bit bigger, and then when they're adults. The wages of sin is death. You can do this thing, and you can do this thing, and you can have this behavior, but where does it actually lead you? Where will it actually take you? When we first started doing some of the mom studies, I think back then maybe we called a session, I think it's online, called Divine Motherhood that we did. I think Judy and myself and Paula, we did kind of a, not round robin, but we did something similar to you know, the different things that we do when we have what panels. I don't want to say The View, because Brett always goes, oh, you guys did The View? That's what he would say. No, we did not do The View. So I think it was called that. But I do remember once making mention, and I think of it tonight because I know that Judy, it clicked. She really likes this. And Paula liked it too. I think Judy Pierce did. And if you didn't, you're my friend, so whatever. But I explained it this way in terms of obedience. You know, Jesus nailed obedience, right? Like if you have a target, and I don't know who all likes to shoot. I actually like to shoot, but I just don't do it very often. But I'm a pretty good shot. When you go and you're ready to shoot, you got to get your sights right on where you're going to shoot, right? You have to actually aim where you want your bullet to go, okay? Jesus nailed that. When he came to this earth, he was bullseye on his obedience. We are not. We know we have literally missed the mark. Now, when you go to shoot, or if you're, you know, doing target practice or whatever, if you're off just a little bit, maybe you don't notice if it's like 20 feet or 30 yards, but you start going 100 yards or 200 yards or 1,500 yards, the slightest millimeter that you're off with your sights here is gonna make it so that it's many, many, many feet off way down there. So far that you won't even see where the shot was taken. And that's how we need to look at our behavior and actually teaching our kids really what it is to miss the mark. It's so important for them to understand, like, no, don't try to tell me that you didn't miss the mark. We missed the mark. just for all of us here as a group, we have missed the mark. Only Jesus gets it straight on. Only Jesus actually nails that. But our obedience shows the world what it could look like, right? We're gonna fail, we're gonna miss. We are gonna miss because we're humans. But getting the bullseye and understanding that, man, only Jesus can make that mark exact. But boy, I sure don't want my kids purposefully off of here. I certainly don't want them here. And I certainly, if this is hell, I certainly don't want them here. I want to pull them in and help them try to learn through the obedience, sometimes failure in their own actions. Man, I have failed. Mom, I messed up on this. And you're there. Remember, we talked about, you know, a symbol of the Lord. You're there to say, I love you and I forgive you. And if they're younger and they have not modified their behavior, you have to say, Mommy loves you and I forgive you, but there's a consequence. And when they're older, and I really do want to stress this, I mean, you need to understand the deck that's in your hand, right? And this is not a reference to any sort of whatever. I know some people were raised like, you shouldn't have cards. I don't even know about all those rules. Because remember, I was the Episcopalian, okay? You can drink. So, you know, whole different set of rules from how I was raised. Cards were not a no-no. There's Baptists, that's a no-no. But you can play Uno. I've never understood it. Why can you play Uno, but you cannot play the other games? I don't get it. So, just saying. It's a little bit like what Paul's talking about with the Jews. Like, seriously, the blind leading the blind. It's same. 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 It's in your heart what matters. Okay, so where was I? Where actually was I? I lost my train of thought. This is when you have a cold and, you know, you come, and I have no medicine. There's no medicine in my body. Where was I talking about? I know. Oh, yeah. Know what's in your deck. This is really important. Write this down in your notes. Know what's in your deck. If you have a 16-year-old and you have promised to them, if you've made this promise, Mom and Dad have a car and you can drive it, or if you've sorry, it just kind of makes me choke that people actually do this. If you've bought your child a car for their 16th birthday and they actually think they deserved it, okay, that's another planet. I don't understand it. I don't understand that. But if you do that, because if you have that ability, and that's great, I'm not judging at all. I just think that it's like they're going to wreck the car. So just think it through. But if you do that, you say to them, okay, this is not your right. This actually is a privilege for you to have this. I would never give my kids a car. I would never just say, I give you this car. Because I don't want to be an Indian giver and say, oh, I guess we're not. That's PC, huh? Okay, I don't want to be a person who takes away something that I've given to someone after I've promised it to them, and then I take it back. How did we come up with Indian giver? What in the world? And my husband's Indian. Okay. Anyway, all that to say, you need to understand that if you are going to give your kids something giant like a car, there should be a giant consequence if they throw off their behavior, if they abuse that privilege. If they have kids in there that are not, if they're not behaving right, if they drive places, hello, everybody's got a phone, do the locate, know where they are. If you know that they are not where they told you they would be, the reason why I think you shouldn't give your kids a car is because I think it's very important for you to be able to say, I now will take the keys. Or I now will cancel the insurance. Because it's what you can do. It's in your cards. Okay? And you never know what you're preventing your child and the kind of trouble that you could be preventing them from later just by doing that. And you guys, you have to be brave, okay? The older women who are in the crowd are here today to say, you got this, sister. You got this. Stand strong. You can do it. It only takes a couple times of really being brave like that. And then, again, just like when I was saying, when you're two or three, your kids are two or three, and you are trying to tell them, okay, this is how we're going to do it. We're doing a reset. Same thing when they're 15. Okay, this is how we're going to do it. You don't turn in your homework, you don't get the car. You come home late, you don't get the car. Stuff like that. And I know that it probably seems redundant, especially for some of you who have already raised your kids, but I'm telling you, the younger moms, I'm begging you, please, come alongside the younger moms and say, be brave, you can do it, let's have the faith of Abraham, let's watch God work through your family, by your faith, right? Some of you, I'm seeing you shake your heads yes, because you know we have already been through this, and it is, my hair is white, I understand, I know, it is stressful. But you can do it, okay? You can do it. You can do it. Because why? Not because of your own strength. Because of God. because God works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. As you get into Romans chapter 8 this week, you're going to love it, and you're going to see, man, God works all things together for good, for those who are called, for those who love God. And that's you. He is going to work it all out for good because you love him, because you're called, and you are called. So be encouraged tonight. Be encouraged to keep going, moms. Keep going. Keep going. I think you're going to love this week. I highly encourage you to not skip a day this week. It's a good solid week of information, and there's tips, you know, just important things to help. And I can attest, when Brett came home with those pretty flowers today and I said, I looked up the book, it actually works. He's like, and then he read it and he was so proud. He's like, this is really good. And so you guys do it. I think that the wrestling that I went through this morning, you know, and the battles that you're going to face this week, work through those battles and go to God with those things, because he is the victor. He's your complete victor, and he has you, and he has your family, and he loves you, and he loves your family. So let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for the amazing work that you've done for us on our behalf, not because we deserved it or not because any way we could ever earn it, because we couldn't, but because you loved us, Lord. You wanted to give us righteousness. You wanted to see us as justified and see us as atoned and reconciled to you, Lord. And those are the things that are true. And I pray for all of us that we would just enjoy fellowship now and enjoy prayer time and enjoy dessert time and enjoy just the beauty that you've given us to rejoice in your glory and in the good things that you've done for us, because there are many, many, many things that you've done for us, Lord. And I pray for each woman here that she would have strength, more strength than she would ever realize she even had, Lord, and that your Holy Spirit would just dwell in us and that you would be pleased by our actions, Lord. And when we come short, Lord, help us to fess up and own that quickly, and help us, Lord, to right the wrongs that have occurred, Lord. And I just pray that with our children, that you would give us grace, Lord, for them, and help us, Lord, to really just be able to point out to them, Lord, the things that need confession. Lord, help them to understand the why behind consequences and punishment. Help them to understand that an even greater thing occurred with you dying on the cross. Lord, it's the greatest thing of all time in all of human history, and we're just so thankful for the amazing, amazing privilege you've given us, Lord, to be the mothers of our children. So I pray we would not take that lightly. I pray that you would bless the efforts of each home that's represented here, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that we would just walk according to your ways and be blessed in the love that you have for us, God. And I also pray for healing and health for the women that are here. In Jesus' name, amen.